Hello, everyone.
Hi. Welcome
to another episode.
This is a continuation of the interview with Tanya. So do check out the first part to this episode so that it makes sense. And let's just dive straight in.
Yeah, boy.
Seidr and Galdr. Traditionally, these have been like, you know, Seidr has been for women and Galdr has been for men. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, I mean, on this podcast, obviously, we do try to break up the gender binary. And, yeah. And like, obviously, when we speak of like the divine feminine or feminine energy, mm-hmm. what we do really, like what we're really talking about is receptive energy and healing and nurturing yes. energy versus the forceful, projective, mm-hmm. outward energy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But like we do have these stories of like Odin basically, mm-hmm. The highest of the gods in Norse Asatru, practicing Seidr and being called Erki, mm-hmm. As in the receiving person mm-hmm. in anal sex between mm-hmm. two men,
yeah.
mm-hmm. Which was like a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, do you have any insight on those? Mm-hmm.
Yes, I do. Erki, I think it got lost in translation, and by mm-hmm. the time it was being written about in the books or any, you know, because the Eddas, you know, the prose and everything is being passed on in oral tradition, mm-hmm. and then it also in oral tradition. You can see how much changes in just like if a word comes out in one day,
yeah.
how it changes. It, mm-hmm. There's always going to be like who's telling the story is going to have some kind of influence to it.
Yeah, they were written down by Christian scholars.
And they were, mm-hmm. yes. And by that time, a lot of Seidr, the practice of Seidr had already become a bit taboo-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And by that time also, we're trying to tame the wild feminine energies,
yeah.
mm-hmm.
That side. We're trying to keep her waiting and praying,
mm-hmm.
but she's wild. And she's Kundalini, and
mm-hmm.
she moves from
mm-hmm.
the hip, and it is a sexual creative force, because that is the act that creates, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's this divine sex. And you know, so Erki to me, and always been in my family's understanding, it is the act of how we dance in Seidr.
Mm.
We and I'm raised with performing Seidr ceremony, where we are, you know, we have the velva in the center,
mm-hmm.
which was usually me. And then we have the group of people. It just so happens to be, it's always been women, but men are welcome.
Mm-hmm.
And the Erki has been how we're dancing and how we're singing to entice the spirits. See, the Varlokur are luring in and protecting at the same time, but the contrary is how we move.
Mm.
And it is the Erki that kind of is poking on something, moving something.
Okay.
Mm.
And when it comes from hip, it's very feminine. It is
mm-hmm.
a very, you know, just what we know as feminine
yeah.
movement. You know, when I think about masculine movement just how I'm raised, it's more like the stepping down, planting the seeds
mm-hmm.
dance.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's more from the hip when we're working with the Kundalini, which is in everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's the swaying and dancing and conjuring like that. And so because it was that energy, what it looked like, and it was sexual. And when the velva, when she awakens, it is tröllite, it's trolldom, it's noisy, it's wild, it's
mm-hmm.
not what they want.
Yeah.
So everything about it is just like, whoa, 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 whoa. We really need to put this in kind of an insult or do something
yeah.
to it to avoid it from
yeah.
happening. But Odin, the way I know Odin personally, is totally queer to me.
Yeah.
Mm.
Personally.
Us too.
Yeah, and that's just like, I know some people be like, oh, you know. And
I mean,
like,
it's also Mercury.
It's Mercury.
Yeah.
Gendered.
No.
Yeah.
And why would he make all that effort to understand the rites of the womb? What he was doing in the hanging of a tree. See, some will be born women and will be able to go through this recycling of with our menstruals,
mm.
with our moon cycle, learning the space between life and death every month like that,
mm-hmm.
connecting us with that moon energy, which is so powerful in the feminine side of Seidr. And if we're blessed to birth a child. So if you're not, don't have that Insta thing happening, mm-hmm. we're going to do it differently.
Yeah.
And it's going to be just a different way of doing it. And it's mm-hmm. going to be a power on its own. He sacrificed himself to himself, hanging in a tree to find that space between, which is the right of the womb.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is a huge effort. And it's said that, you know, yeah, that he would drum, you know, they were trying mm-hmm. to tease him for that, but didn't really stop him.
No.
Hmm. Well, there is a poem where he did use Sedrin to conquer a woman, and he tried to banish that.
Mm-hmm.
But that was, I really truly believe that that was a teaching of how you should not do it and do not use mm-hmm. these forces to manipulate.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But like, so we're talking about Erke. I think it's a human issue where they have put it into some kind of insult on queerness, but mm-hmm. I believe our roots of the word and the act and the practice are sacred, and it's for mm-hmm. everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to see just all kinds of people join the circle. Now, this might be controversial, but I'd like to say that I have never met another a vulva.
Mm-hmm.
I've only met one other vulva in my life,
mm-hmm.
and she's a woman. And usually it's this passed down from the lineage of the womb, of
mm-hmm.
that birthing passage.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, so of course, I'm born in the 80s, so I do have a bit of old world in me too, just
mm-hmm.
discovering the new world.
Mm-hmm.
So I birthed a child who's gender fluid.
Mm-hmm.
And this child hasn't said, yes, I will do this yet. But of both my children, this is the one that has all the same markings that I do as a vulva.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a child that wants a womb, that feels a need for a womb,
mm-hmm.
and has been making efforts of connecting with that. And I am discovering this new era of this coming back to us, a third gender, fourth, fifth gender, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, and I think it's beautiful teaching to me too, just
mm-hmm.
to follow that and discover
mm-hmm.
that in him, definitely. Her, what he is. And
mm-hmm.
it's very beautiful. And that is what the world needs today. I've really just saw the need for these people that are born
mm-hmm.
with that balance, that fluid energy in them. To me, that is a very powerful sign of something beautiful and shamanic happening right there.
Mm.
Yeah, we talked about it on another episode about the queerness of shamanistic traditions. Like, shaman is a problematic term in and of itself, because it's, you know, been like so many traditions have been sort of stamped as shamanistic.
Yeah.
But those traditions do have all of those things in common, like you were describing before. And it has been so common in so many different practices for shamans to be queer in some way, whether it's as gender fluid or trans or queer in some other way, because queerness becomes this sort of liminal space between man and woman, between heterosexual couples and
definitely. And I have always been gender fluid myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that was another thing I was so blessed with. Just, it was so cool in my home, you know. And I was just, I was raised around wonderful, wonderful queer people. You know, my favorite uncle, he was a barber called Gulli. I called him Leye. And he never came out of the closet. He just was like this light pole walking around town, just like, what, you know, fierce. And I was like, that was my example. And was just encouraging to me to be fluid, you know. And I was even more masculine younger, and then I kind of started to discover more of my feminine aspects older. And it fluctuates, and it's wonderful. And I could definitely see why that's important to me. And that's why my daughter is never even, you know, it's not even been vocalized. She doesn't need to put a stamp on herself. My son, well, today, he's my son today. This is how it goes. It's been more important to him to be actually quite outspoken.
Mm-hmm.
And because he is fierce about it. He's very fierce about just being able to hold space for that.
Mm.
So, it is an issue. Because we do have, this is a topic in society, and I'm hearing it like in the tradition form too, many people coming forth with this. And I'll hear a lot of assholes, a lot of bullshit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, there's something we do have to talk about and address. It's very important, we do. But at the same time, we just have it very normal at home, that you have this freedom to find your own true self, authentic self.
Mm-hmm.
And it can change, and it can be so ever-changing. It's fine.
That's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I wish more homes were like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are being contagious.
Yeah.
Mm.
Just spread the word and just be that. And like I said, I don't even make a lot of statements about it.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, it's just, it's there, it's that.
Mm.
It's not a problem.
Yeah.
Where's the problem?
I think anyone who is from a spiritual tradition, I mean, maybe not so much Christianity as it's, like, there's much more of a focus on gender binary, but like, anyone who's come from a tradition of working with spirits can see immediately that it's like, it's not just a male-female thing. It's like you go into other worlds and you see that there are thousands and thousands of ways that you can be whatever.
Yes.
And you see spirits that are in their form, and it's their form. It's a specific thing for that spirit. It's not, I mean, of course it will appear to you as a sort of, there's a binary image sometimes there, but it's like
your ideas of gender and your society's ideas of gender.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But as soon as that falls away, I think it's going to be even more interesting to see how that will change.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And it's just tasting it the way it is, you know. It's wonderful to meet something that's like super frey and flowery and beautiful like that, you know. It was, you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And then and meeting like Thor, he's like you know, that is just beautiful. And then, but still, both of them, they dabble everywhere, you know.
Yeah.
And
dresses up. As Freya, and, you know, Freya shapeshifts.
Definitely. And then she's just as scary as she's wonderful.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and I'm totally trippy, you know. I mean, I've been having alien connections since I was little too. You know, I'm not only dealing with like every scale of entities in Iceland and in the world. I'm also from the Starborn, and there's things I've seen there. It's just like, are you a praying mantis or a whale? I mean, I can't even start getting to the point of wondering how you guys clone yourselves, whatever that is.
Yeah.
It's just that. But the energy is that, like I've literally met like a orca whale praying mantis being thing, whatever. And it's absolutely beautiful, just whatever that is. Whatever that is, it's just the deepest compassion that you can get from a fatherly or motherly. It just is. So that is just what I've been kind of like, I've been groomed by aliens, but you know.
Nice.
Yeah, they're kind of coming back to me now. I went through this, I really dove deep into Earth, you know, and all of a sudden they started showing up again too. I'm like, okay, so we're back again there. And I needed to just define the space between Earth and the Celestials, because of course, being the way I am, I've flown. I have been so crazy sometimes, definitely. Like when you meet Celestials or you meet, you know, the star beings and all that stuff, it's so wonderful to be there.
Mm-hmm.
It is a beautiful feeling. So I just fly and fly and fly. But then it can be like a high. You need to remember you came down to Earth to have this experience, and you really need to be with your body, because the body's having this experience.
Don't let go of that cord.
No, that cord, I was just like, I really needed to get that cord down. Now it's like, it is so anchored right now.
Yeah.
I'm deep in it.
Yeah.
So now doors have opened again.
Amazing. It'll be exciting to see what happens with that.
Yeah,
just watch your dreams, children. Watch your dreams. They talk in mysterious ways. They're telepathic, you know. And they might feel like ancestors. Well, they kind of are. Well, they are. We did come from somewhere before we came here, but that is an old story.
Invite your spirit guide.
So like with psychoactives, I'm a huge fan of plant medicine and the entities behind them. And I'm greatly appreciative and in love with what they offer us in support. They are here to help, but we need, so this is how it is. Shaman is the word we all know mm-hmm. today. So we'll do, and I've met Siberian shamans, they understand. I don't meet a lot that go like, don't use that word, that's ours. You know, it's like, we're trying to communicate here. So with a curator or a shaman to help with that. That's somebody that's really dedicated themselves to marry the plant, to understand it in and out, and has the dedication experience to help guide a journey. And I'm not talking only about psychoactive plants, but plants that help with healing, purging. They have so many aspects to them, and there's. Ideally, we can say that we don't need a mediator, that we don't need a plant to help us to connect with spirit or root or heal or anything like that. But they are here, and they came here for a reason. They are with us for a reason. And because one thing we should definitely not be too good for is to ask help. And these spirits are here to help. And there's a common thing with all of them. You know, if we're talking about the cocoa leaf, cacao, if we're talking about ayah, peyote, cannabis, even tobacco, even, they all have a spirit that will fuck you up if you do not respect it. If you don't respect, if you bring your ego to the table, if you try to use it like a drug, anything, even alcohol has spirit. It's a sacred drink in our tradition, the mead. It is the nectar of the gods. And that will mess you up too. We just need to repair our communication with that. And we have to have the bravery to do that right and represent that. And much of the medicine that I, for instance, work with, don't even have a place in the legal system. It is like the power of, the power of the alcohol has been underestimated.
Yeah, totally.
But if we observe downtown and what we see the spirit working through them, the shadow of the spirit. But if we use it right in ritual, in gathering, run a fire, in a bloat, in a sacrifice, you will see that it really brings a cheerful, beautiful, loosening up energy to it that's really, really great.
Yeah. I actually did, because when I was studying, I was going to apply, or I applied for a master's in fine art and photography. And one of the things that I wanted to focus on was that sort of connection that we as a species, I think, and as a society at least, have kind of lost, and with spirit and with meditation and whatever you want to call it, it's that connection to something that is outside of us that we don't see, and that, you know, whatever you want to call it. And I think that part of the reason why we drink and smoke and all of those things is because deep down inside, we want that connection back, but we don't know how to get it. And so we use these things in the wrong way, because that's the only way that we can sort of let go of our inhibitions. And I think that's such an important thing that we need to learn again, is how to use those things in the right way to actually just connect to spirit and get that experience that deep within us, I think, our soul is really yearning for.
Very much so. And there is a reason why things are trending now, are becoming popular and everything like that. Yeah, sometimes we get excited like children, and it's like getting a feather in our caps and doing everything. You know, like cacao has just gone way overboard here in Iceland. But it is cute because, like, even me, I'm in a way carrying a very ancient entity in myself, but I'm still a child also. I've been there too, my curiosity and excitement, and then the great spirit of the medicine will drag you down to earth and will teach you a lesson to approach it the right way. And the more we introduce ourselves to ceremony and create space to to dive to these levels of connection, it will get better. It will improve. And I'm one thing I am working on. Well, Spirit is working with me with doing, is creating the space and for this island too, because what I discovered is that the isolation that I have been working a lot with certain groups. I'm relatively newly coming out just like in public and saying like, hey, anybody, you banker there, whatever, you know, I'm open to you too, to create this space for you. And it's, see, just the medicine of creating ceremony is one part good medicine already. Something that does help us can make that connection. And then sometimes we need these doors, these keys to help us just... Because if we have become way too stagnant, like cacao is a beautiful way to just start opening, opening up for that. And getting assistance from a warmer country like that, you know, something that they have more passion, more fire, more expressiveness.
More,
you know, they're offering us that, that spirit has somehow made it that, here with that. That's wonderful. The spirits of Iceland, though, is saying, don't forget that we are here first.
Yeah.
That we need to make an introduction.
Yeah.
We are here holding space. Miss Cacao, here. Here's Miss Isa or Isa or Valva, you know. And here, we're going to work together for the common good of the people. And what what's coming to me now after a few years of people kind of going outside of the country and they're bringing back and bring inspiration back. They're starting to get curious about what we have here. And that's where I'm coming in right now. And as I am not right at this moment working with a ceremony with that sort of medicine, but I'm working with the plant medicine and taking people out to nature and offering ceremony. And just that, people always feel more grounded, like they've made a self-discovery, some kind of anchor that we can start working with. And yeah, so plant medicine is beautiful. I am, and I'm misjudging when it comes down to LSD, acid, amphetamines, anything like that. It's just leave the chemistry out of it. Leave the misuse of like the cocoa plants. That is such a sad, sad story behind that. And I tell the story a lot to people that have an addiction. And the story does help when you understand the goddess behind it. And it's very, very good that many natives that come from that tradition are speaking of the stories of that. It kind of just wakes you up. Because the reason why I'm saying this, that I'm like not preferring, you know, the LSD and acid and everything, is just I think it's obvious. We're talking about something that's made chemically. And then we're talking about entities from natures that are to serve and help. So, yeah, so it's kind of like going to a real doctor or going to whateverness, flights. I don't know what it is. So, and I'm very big on tobacco medicine, and it used to be very big in Iceland, and I intend to bring it back. And I also intend to work more with the mushrooms, and nature has also been teaching me different other uses of plants too that just have vibrations that are very assisting. So that is something I'm working towards, and that's my dedication to my body has brought me this medicine. So
even like everyday things like yarrow, like
what's
the Latin not Latin name, the Icelandic name is
Vatlumall.
Even that plant is like, I mean, in so many books that I've read, it's like, yeah, drink some yarrow tea before you do some divination or anything like that. But it just, for any ceremony, really, I think it's a really good, like, gentle opening plant for all of these things.
Yes, like, I'm drinking that now, and I feel like my head feels like the flowers on top. I feel like I got this really nice headdress on. And it is like a channeling and a flow, and it's sparkly, and I really like it. And that is just because we know this because we're conscious of it. And we're like, hey, how are you? What are you doing? You know? And, you know, like, oh, it makes me feel a certain way. Why? Okay. And then we're understanding the medicine. Mm-hmm. It is so simple. It doesn't have to be a trip, you know?
Yeah. No, exactly.
And I think it's
so important as well to use, because, I don't know, like, for such a long time, it's been like, oh, you can't grow anything in Iceland. Like, nothing mm-hmm. grows here because mm-hmm. we don't have, like, the same kind of big trees and colorful mm-hmm. flowers as most other places mm. do. But actually, there are so many things here. There are so many herbs that you don't really notice because they just sort of hide in the moss and you know, wherever. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
But there's so many herbs here, and using them, like, if you're from here or if you're living mm-hmm. here, is such a powerful thing because you get that extra oomph of having a herb that is grown in this country with the spiritual energy of this country.
Yes.
Mm. And that's so... Yeah. Like, people don't appreciate that enough, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they definitely need to get more into it, because mm-hmm. I see it all around people. Mm-hmm. They will attract to certain things, but there's sometimes just a matter of going, like,
literally go just to Heimark and pick it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, because
importing it from Peru.
Yeah.
You really don't. I mean, it's a wonderful thing to meet and get mm-hmm. to know. And but also, like, what I have discovered, I might get Amazonian medicine, and then I go, like, wait, I have an equivalent here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I will look for that. I'm like, oh, thank you, Ancient One, because their traditions are even older than ours.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh, thank you, Ancient One. Thank you for showing me this. Oh, mm-hmm. I can take the yarrow, that one, and that really will wake up this aspect mm-hmm. of myself,
mm-hmm. yeah.
or a feeling or energy. And so I encourage people just to do this more. Get to know the teas, the brews you're drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Seidr is, you know, such a big part of it is the brewing of the herbs and mm-hmm. things like that. And in the practices that I have in my family, where they're derived from the Sami lineage of inducing trance with the herbs.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna share a secret. So I'm just gonna do it. So the basis of the brew is, how do you say this in a nice way? It's your urine. And and it will be preferably urine from a child that hasn't been through puberty yet.
Okay.
And you keep it for about a year or two, three would be very good. And that will be the basis of the brew. And then you add into it, like, the yarrow, the birch, the blåbær, I don't know the English word for it. The Arctic thyme. And yeah, more and more. You can really just go at it. Just like all my favorite things that are in it. And you just brew it and brew it and brew it. And it turns really thick and it will start giving off fumes.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of the oldest practices of Seidr that we have here.
Wow.
And I managed to keep that towards living regardless of all the attempts to kill it.
Mm-hmm.
We did not forget. And but because of my family probably used this so much, I have like this instant thing happening. I don't even go through any paths or anything when I go to trance. It's just like all I think I have to do is put my suit on.
Yeah.
Then then we know it's on and just goes chuk chuk. The rest of the chanting and singing, the erke, is just to feel the energy of the day
mm-hmm.
and to do the warning and clearing that we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very instant. But I'm in the process of brewing a thing like this. It was not easy fetching the urine this time around. You know? You know,
it's a weird ask.
It's a weird ask, you know, and it's been a while since my last batch run out. And yeah, I'm just going to say it. I had to bribe my son, you know. I really did. I'm still like, I'm going to the game station tomorrow. You know, I'm still owing him because I'm like, one more bottle. Because I have to keep it for 3 years, you know. I got a 1 year, 2 year, 3 year.
Yeah.
And he's just like, oh, mommy. Really, like, I'm doing this for you, child. Doing this for humanity and spirit and the family.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they love me.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, you're
that's
welcome.
So
you know, I felt the need to because I'm hearing way too much shit that, like, you know, outsiders talking about Seidr, they're acting like we don't even exist anymore. Mm-hmm. They are like trying to read the information about us and they got it all mixed up. They're trying to get all cryptic and trying to find reasons for doing everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, really, all you have to do is just go to Iceland. You know a Völva? Everybody knows, okay, Tanya's probably the Völva. Let's talk to her. Or, you know, mm-hmm. or as a sales practitioners, we are quite open now.
Yeah.
It's not that difficult to find. And it's just asking us the questions. So what is Thorbjörg Littavölva doing in Eirík Saga? I can tell exactly what she's doing. It was never a mystery to us and we didn't have to use our senses or ask ancestors. It just, the information held.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I know it, and I know now how rare that information spread has been. So, and I know also I can share this brew because there's very few that's going to attempt this.
Yeah.
You know, I am...
This doesn't sound like something you would try at home for a lark.
Yeah.
Don't try it at home. It's for experienced trans workers.
Yeah.
And it is also that it is very dangerous. And I think the dangers of this should be known.
Mm.
Because there is a lot of people out there that are going like, I think I can do divination. I think I'm a Völva.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know... they think that they can just like kind of dive into it.
Mm-hmm.
My job is extremely dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
I have so often been in the space between life and death. My mom has seen me leave my body and not come back. I really, really like scared the shit out of people.
Mm-hmm.
And then in trance, and especially this form of trance where there's a lot of trolldom in it, if anybody in that space does a seidvitle around me, do any kind of symbols or mess with the area I'm in, it can cause me to automatically, impulsively commit suicide.
Hmm.
This is how serious the job is. And I'm not kidding when I talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're playing with spirits like that, we're not playing. This is not a game. Mm-hmm. You can't play with it. These are ancient, ancient forces. And the work is ancient. And the first time I experienced somebody doing a seisvitla around me, I almost burnt my staff. It was the strongest impulse in the world to throw my staff into a fire.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And says, well, I'm another reason why I've been very careful about being open and mm-hmm. being working with people.
Mm-hmm.
But my Varulokur, my group, the system I have around me is so strong right now
mm-hmm.
that the protection is now good.
Nice.
And it took that to be witness of how serious this work can be.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that I believe that we all have a witch inside of us,
mm-hmm.
you know? When you're blessed with that, you know, strong intuition, that's often, you know, the motherly vibe in you.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you know, what I call, you know, like I said, that's being a nort, you know, you just sense everything, you weave everything, you can, you know, you understand how to work and manipulate things. And, you know, it's very natural, you know. When you start going into the seder, then you are bringing the intention to walk a path and
mm-hmm.
and be a worker.
Mm-hmm.
And it should always be in service, really. Why else would you have these powers? Why would you want to build up these powers?
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's for work.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you should enjoy yourself too.
Yeah.
Of course, we are here to do that too.
Mm-hmm.
This should be a good example of to others
mm-hmm.
to do that. And then when we go into the quote that being a shaman or something, tread so carefully into that area because there are also the darker forces out there
yeah.
that we have made space for. We created
mm-hmm.
them ourselves. And so always do it under guidance. Walk with somebody first. I have been walking with my mother and my family to learn this
mm-hmm.
and a very slow tempo, really.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing, I think, because nowadays we're so used to getting everything really, really fast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're used to getting information fast and communicating
mm-hmm.
fast. And like, learning things in a really fast way
yeah.
that we don't like appreciate that sort of slowness and the time it takes
yeah.
to build up that the strength really
yeah.
like the
and like,
emotional and spiritual strength
yeah.
needed
yeah.
for this kind of work
like all witchy
yeah.
things
yeah
you need to take
yeah.
your time because
yeah.
it's
really,
it's like sensitive shit
you
have
it to... is it's surgery you know
mm.
and
yeah.
especially it's like we are manipulating nature. That is what we're doing. We're taking it like maybe it's like it's kind of I don't like that word,
mm.
but we are bending and turning and we're doing all this very very delicate tuning,
mm-hmm.
and we also have to be very grounded to understand the weird, you know, understand the destiny of it all, you know, which is it's all over the teachings, it's all over in the sagas, it's always being, you know, how we can actually cause more harm with messing what is our forlok, you know, what is our destiny already. But what I like to do is assist what already is. Like, there is maybe a process of somebody has to go through the suffering to learn, or there is going to be a death or something, but we can support it and seek as much wisdom from the experience as we can. And yes, I think we all channel, you know, I think we all get, you know, I meet my ancestors and angels and guides through people all the time. They'll always just say, like, I just had to tell you that.
Yeah.
We're always channeling. And what I'm just saying is that I've had a lifetime. I've had like 39 years to learn to take in the oldest gods. And that was not easy. And it was a dangerous job. And it should only be done by few people because they get upset with being pulled on in many directions. So they work with one person at a time just to be able to get that energy through. And but they do tap in with other people too. But like, you know, when the big one started to come through, like fully incorporation, where she's really just taking my body, the first things that were happening was that I was coming back with like stigmatas on my body, with burns. I got burns and scars on my body from that because of the heat of her. And I had to incorporate, I needed to integrate with that extreme heat, her extreme temper that is so challenging to carry sometimes. If she gets upset, it needs to get out as soon as possible. And then I've had to go through the water too, you know, and it's shocking. It's shocking. Like, water will be coming out of my ears. And this is when I'm like 13. So in that time, I'm still going like, this is my home life. And then I'm going out there like, no, I'm just like a cool teenager. I'm playing music. Fuck that, man. I'm like all awkward. Like, and then I go home and everything's going, oh, you know? And it's, and it took me some time to just go like, all right. Let's just, in the end of the day, I'm just finding harmony and all of it. It's the music is saved to me too. And I just go like, oh, fuck it, you know? I am a nerd, okay? You know, I am a nerd. That's fine, you know?
Yeah, I think there's definitely like with the well, with people wanting to just jump straight in, it's like it's happening in loads of things as well, like with flying ointment now, and people are experimenting, and it's, you know, it's good to experiment, but you need to do it really slowly. You can't just mix the most poisonous plants together and rub it all over your body because you will die. So like, you need to, I don't know, I guess it just can't be stressed enough how gently you need to approach so many spiritual things.
Be humble, be careful. And with medicine and flying ointment, anything like that, it's like you the less is more, really. It's like, just in any medicine I take the minimum. I always take the minimum because it's the first, it's just seeing, oh, hi, how are you? What's this? And then, like, how we're going to work together. And we temperature each other in that. And just there's a side of me that's just like the secret of knowledge, this Odin mind that has brought me to just the curiosity of how things work. Not that I have to do it, though. No, it's just learning. And I am now, like, I've been offered seeds for you know, hand bind, datura, and things like that. I don't even know how to work it. Just the presence of them has just been a lot. And then getting to meet that, whether I would end up using it, it's not my end goal. I am more interested in the intelligence right now. And it is like, and nature is saying, slow down. So like, if we decide to do that, medicine is the way to go, we just start, and be careful who you choose to be your protector, your shaman, your curator, because a good one will do less. We're not doing the cowboy method of just getting like a full dose and just like, and meet your demons. You know, You don't know what people carry, you know? We don't
know.
What
people can handle.
Mm. No, like, and even, like, and I'm just like, and watch out for the ones with the biggest egos, the biggest voices and everything, you know?
Mm.
And
mm-hmm.
they think that they want, like, a lot. Those are the ones that I always got in the little fetus position in, like, 5 minutes. Like, okay, here we go. You know, they're having that moment. Yeah, the quiet ones, they're usually the bigger ones too. They're like more hardcore. So it's like again, slow down and listen deeply. And that the rush in the world, it's really causing a lot of anxiety. There's amazing to see how much really happens when you slow down.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And let slow be a medicine right now. I would really like to emphasize that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it from my own experience of being one of these... people that wanted to be an overachiever, and I wanted to save the world. I really did. You know, I cried all my life because I wanted to save the world and do everything at once. Excitement of life and experience and doing everything at once too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I hit my burnout, you know, when I went too fast, I lost my saddle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then the power of slow came in and I was like, yeah. Here we go. I got ADHD, but I'm going to watch this drop. Go into that stone, you know. Watch you do your work. That is my mantra now. It's just that dripping,
mm-hmm.
you know. Dunk. Mm. And amazing how much works fast when we go slow.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
It's amazing.
All right. Thank you so much, Tanya, for coming and sharing all of that incredible knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And just to wrap it up, where can people find you and find out more about you online or more in person?
Well, I am on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
and it is allowed to connect with me there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm carrying the name Tanya Lindt there. Because I do have, I do want to offer ceremonies to people that what they need. And I do have a place where I'm doing healing work here in Reykjavik.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody feels the pull to come for that, then that's the best way to contact me. It's on the Facebook. And then on Instagram is where I have my photo diary.
Mm-hmm.
I call myself Tiva Reigns,
mm-hmm.
and Tiva as in the gods. And Tiva is also the energy of the spirits of nature. Just wanted to add that.
Mm.
And I am supporting that the spirits of nature, the old gods, get to reign again with us. And so Tiva Reigns on Instagram, Tanya Lindt on the Facebook.
Cool.
And I'm very open and friendly. So be welcome.
<Nice.
laughs> All right. Thank you so much again. And we'll see you soon.
Thank you. Deeply happy to be here.